Romans 12, verses 19 to 21 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's Romans 12, verses 19 to 21. The refrain for this morning in today's prayer, and also partly in the song we sang, was "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his love in a besieged city." And it can't help but make us think about the Paris attacks and the way that many have chosen to respond, not by retreating in fear, but by opening up their homes to strangers who may be sad, lonely, displaced. And it's been sad, on the other hand, to see people stirring up fear, Islamophobia, and even xenophobia in the wake of the attacks. And I do understand that fear. And I do understand those feelings. But we must never play into the hands of terror, of hate, and of evil. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all look back to Abraham for the origins of their faith. They're all known as the Abrahamic faith. They're all monotheistic in that they claim to believe in one God. Abraham lived amongst people whose faith, ethics, and practices were alien to his own. Yet he did not go around smashing idols. He did not impose his faith on others. He did not hold people of other beliefs to the same standards of ethics or holiness that he himself felt called to observe. Yes, he holds them to account for seizing a well that he had dug, but that was kind of a common moral law issue, a bit like it's not right to steal from someone else. It wasn't directly related to religious religious ethics or faith. Abraham's nephew Lot moved to a place called Sodom. Now, some of you will have heard of Sodom. According to Genesis 13, the people of Sodom were wicked and sinned greatly against the Lord. And yet Abraham is not once mentioned as having criticized or condemned them. In fact, when he heard that there was a severe punishment heading their way, Abraham pleaded one of the boldest prayers in the Bible by calling upon God to spare the people. And his contemporaries, the interesting thing, his contemporaries sense that there is something special, perhaps even something godly, about Abraham. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, he salutes Abraham with words, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth." That's Genesis 14:9. And the Hittites say of him, "You are a prince of God among us." Genesis 23:6. These men did not know God the way Abraham did. And yet Abraham gains their respect by the way he lives, not the way he forces or even urges others to live. He seeks to be true to his faith whilst being a blessing to others, regardless of their faith. And this deep love between Abraham And God has in various ways inspired the Jews, Christians, and Muslims to aspire to live like Abraham, to believe they're his rightful heirs. So surely then all who believe Abraham is their rightful heir should aspire to live like Abraham. Could anything be more foreign to the spirit of Abrahamic monotheism than what's happening today in the name of jihad? The brutal murder of the innocent, the cold, brutal killings of those with whom you do not agree, the pursuit of domination in the name of empire or caliphate, and the idea that you can impose truth by force. They're pagan ideas, and they must have no place in the life or faith of anyone claiming to be a true heir of Abraham. But let's have some hubris here. The Christian faith has not been immune to imposing its views on others. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the witch hunting, witch burning. And we may well say, as I have many times, yes, but that wasn't proper Christianity. Scripture was misinterpreted for political ends, for power. But cannot the same be said for this extreme form of Islam? The beliefs and practices of ISIS or Daesh that few Muslims would recognize as being orthodox Islam. And let's remember that by far the greatest loss of life amidst the current atrocities has been amongst Muslims themselves. Muslims who do not agree with them. And there's difficult texts in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran and the Hadith. And applied directly, without careful interpretation, some of the texts of all of these faiths can and have and will do great harm. And the advent of social media and the internet, it permits extreme interpretations to rapidly gain adherence. And that's particularly true for Islam. Though fundamentalist and extremist Christian views are also getting far more publicity now than they should too. Westboro Baptist Church, for an example, in America, is a church that many of us, if we do Google them, would struggle to accept as Christian. And I find that hard to say, but you only need to look at the extreme hate that it peddles, and you find it hard to recognize it as a Christian church. Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." Everything. The land, its produce, its power, its people, and life itself. They all belong to the Lord. We may possess the land, but we do not own it. Human beings are trustees, called to act on God's behalf. ISIS, Daesh, similar organizations, they're not acting as trustees. They've declared that they want restoration of the caliphate and application of their twisted form of Islamic law in all the lands where Islam once held power, from Israel through to Spain. Those are political objectives. They have nothing to do with the God of Abraham. God does not accept human sacrifice. And when religion turns people into murderers, God would reply as he did to Cain, "The voice of your brother is crying out to me from the ground." As Christians, I believe that we need to remember the values within our own faith that make true Abrahamic monotheism the humanizing force that it can and should be. These include the sanctity of life, the dignity of personhood, the upholding of justice and mercy, the responsibility of the rich for the poor, the command to love the stranger, and the insistence on respectful listening. And with these values, perhaps the church can be salt and light in this situation as she's called to be. The use of religious language by any faith to justify the current waves of heinous terror crimes is not faith. It's imperialism. And unless we're careful, there is a risk that it will not only be the terror victims who are dead and injured, but also the very values upon which a free society is built. Trust, security, civil liberty, tolerance, the willingness of a country to open its doors to the stranger. We must not let those values be eroded. Because true faith never needs terror to make its voice heard. The God of Abraham has the power to rescue the powerless. God Almighty turns his face and inclines his ear to the poor, the lonely, the marginalized, the refugee, the one who has no earthly might. And above the noise of war and hate, God hears their strained cry. And so if we follow him, must we? And in the Middle East, the Advent season, in Orthodox Christianity, the Advent season's already started. And in just 1 week, we too will be looking forward to the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. God who came to be with us in a way that was so mind-blowingly unexpected. The one who was all-powerful, who made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness, and then, who being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2. Jesus, God squeezed into human flesh, entered into a hostile world, an illegitimate baby who, while still a toddler, had to flee a murderous political religious regime and become a refugee in a foreign land. What a contrast we see in the Bible already set up between the way that God would come to earth to establish his kingdom and the way that Herod would seek to establish his earthly kingdom by killing all others who might claim to the throne. Yet God turns our understanding of power on its head, and that same subversion of power continued through Jesus' life and continues now. When Jesus became a man, instead of taking the lives of those who didn't agree with him, he died in their place at the cross of Calvary. But we know more of that story too, don't we? We know that because of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, his love can not only overcome, it can diminish brutality, assault, murder, rape, persecution, genocide, injustice, slaughter, hate, at their very source, the human heart. And God's love through Christ can change hearts in a way that no other force can. God's love alone can stop the cycle of violence. And of course we must resist evil. Of course we must protect victims of violence. But love alone must shape the heart attitudes from which we respond. Because if fear and hate form and shape our heart attitudes more than the love of God, then terror will have won a victory in our hearts too. I just want to go back to Martin Luther King's quote. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Let us, like Abraham, win the respect of others by the way that we live our lives, not by the way we force or even urge others to live. And then maybe the other we'll see something godly about us. And surely that's what it means to be a light in the darkness. A light that is only extinguished if we compromise our faith by fighting hate with hate, by fighting human power with human power, instead of letting God do it in his power. This Advent, ask Christ to let his image burn so brightly in your life that it will consume the fear, the hate, and expel the darkness within your own heart, so that we, his church, can carry the light wherever we go. The church of Jesus Christ, fully alive to the transformational power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, is the hope of this world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. We are the light.